الرحمن الرحيم. I seek the assistance of Allah, who is the absolute perfect being, to whom belong all the excellent attributes, principal amongst which are that he is Rahman, meaning that his rahmah and love and mercy reach out to each and everything in the universe for every moment of its existence, and that he is Rahim, meaning that his extra mercy and extra love are directed specifically to those who believe in him and who follow his guidance. Elders and brethren in Islam, salamun alaykum. With due respect to Maulana Sahib, it was suggested that there should be a talk whereby we get a refreshing and a reminding about our basic faith. And we thought we'd discuss about Tawheed. But I also came across some other brethren who said this is the month of Ramadan and it's the month of Quran. And we read the Quran yet we fail to benefit from it. And also for our young brothers who are involved in the i'tikaf, one of the principal ibadat that you can perform during i'tikaf is of course the recitation of the Quran. So I thought we just remind ourselves about how to benefit from the Quran. I may have already mentioned this before, but then let this serve as a reminder and a practical application of how to benefit from the Quran. You notice that the reason we are asked to fast in the month of Ramadan is because it is so spiritual and so holy that the Quran was revealed in this month. In chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, ayah number 183, God says, you must fast. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam. In ayah number 184, God says, when you do fast, you must fast for a few days only. And then in ayah 185, he says, shahru Ramadan. Those few days are the month of Ramadan. And why the month of Ramadan? Alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an. So this month's special nature is precisely because the Quran was revealed in this month. And therefore, if we are to gain the benefit of this month, we should be in close contact with the Quran. Having understood this basic idea of this month and the Quran, then the next step is, how do we benefit from it? And I've suggested in the past that one possible method, I'm not saying this is the best method, there may be other methods, but this method works well. I've suggested this before, that you can follow this acrostic Quran. So what happens is, before you start reading the Quran, Q, have a questioning attitude in your mind. U, when you read, try to understand what the Quran says. R, having understood what the Quran says, relate it to your daily life. A, having related it to your daily life, apply it and act on it. And N, then you find a change coming in your life, which the Quran calls as Noor. Let me elaborate a little further on these steps, and then we make a practical application of them. You see, essentially we believe that the Quran was sent down for the guidance of mankind, but before it could be guided, mankind had to think over the message. For example, in Surah Sad, that's chapter 38, ayah number 29, God says, Kitabun, this is a book, Anzalnahu, we sent it down, Ilayka, to you, O Prophet, Mubarakun, it's full of blessings. For what purpose did we send it down? Liyaddabbaru ayatih, so that they may ponder and think and reflect over the verses. The purpose of revelation is so that we may think, not just read, not just recite, but think. وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, and so that those people who are people of understanding, they may take heed. So Q, if the purpose of Quran is for us to think over it, one way of inducing us to think, stimulating us to think, is to question. Before you even open the Quran and before you start reading, question yourself, what is God telling me in this Quran? When you have this question at the back of your mind, when you will read the Quran, therefore, you will look for the answers. It will not be a passive reading. It will not be simply reading for the sake of reading or just to get thawab. So that's step number one. Step number two then is to try and read the translation and understand you, to understand what the Quran says. One very important fact that we need to keep in mind is the Quran is not difficult to understand. So one big problem people have is when they read the translation, they've got this negative attitude. The Quran is difficult. In Surah Qamar, chapter 54, God repeats this message four times. Chapter 54, ayah number 17, and ayah number 22, and ayah number 32, and ayah number 40. Four times God repeats this simple message, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ. We have deliberately made the Qur'an simple to understand. فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. But is there anyone to take heed? I'm not trying to suggest that the Qur'an is simple in its meaning and therefore it doesn't have deeper meaning. What I'm saying is, the Qur'an itself has been deliberately designed by God to have a simple meaning to begin with. But of course there are deeper meanings behind it. إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. We shall send down to your Prophet a heavy book. Heavy meaning, it's got deep meanings also. There is a solid proof behind the book. Every simple meaning that there is, behind it there is a deeper meaning. Behind it there is solid proof. In fact, the riwayat of the Ahlul Bayt tell us that the Qur'an is the rope of God, Hablullah. It connects mankind to God. You see, a rope is always connected to a ceiling. If we are to use that rope to elevate ourselves, it has to be connected to a ceiling. If the Qur'an is a rope of God, and one end of that rope is in our hands, the hands of mankind, and the other hand is connected to the ceiling of God, and God is unlimited, He's infinite, His knowledge is boundless. And therefore every step you take to rise is a higher step, and a higher step, and a higher step. You can read the Quran multiple times, hundreds of times, thousands of times, and yet you'll discover a deeper meaning. Because it is connected to one whose knowledge is unlimited. But to start with is a simple meaning. And that simple meaning is available to everyone because the Quran is a challenge. You see, the mushrikeen and the kuffar, marhum Ayatullah Al-Khoi mentions this argument. He says the kuffar and the mushrikeen on the day of judgment can object. The Quran was difficult for me to understand. How could I meet the challenge? How could I reproduce something like it? I couldn't understand. And therefore I could not believe and prove for myself that this Quran is from God. To start with, the Qur'an is simple, but behind the simple meaning there are deeper meanings and there are solid proofs. So step number one, before I read the Qur'an, I need to develop a questioning attitude so I start to think. And secondly, when I read, I should read to understand, not read just to get thawab. Step number three, I then need to relate what I've understood in the messages to my daily life. True, the Qur'an was sent 1400 years ago. But that same God who's speaking then is speaking now and will continue to speak. And the reason is, though it's in the Arabic language, but behind the words of Arabic there's a message which is universal, which applies to all times, which applies to all places. If the Quran were to be revealed in some other part of the world, it would have been in some other language. But the point is, behind the language there's a message. And that message is universal to all mankind of whatever language they may be. And therefore, though the Quran was sent 1400 years ago, it applies to me today. Even today God is talking to me. If He's talking to me, I need to find out what is He telling me. How do I apply this message to my life? How do I relate it to myself? That's the third question and the third step we need to ask and take. Surah Furqan, chapter 25, the first ayah, God reminds us, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. Blessed is that Lord who has sent down on his special servant the Furqan, the Quran, that which distinguishes between what is right and what is wrong. Why? So that it may be a warning for the entire mankind, not only for Arabia, not only 1400 years ago. The message is universal. If it is universal, I need to find out how it relates to me. Step number three. Step number four, then I need to act on the messages that I've got from the Quran. Because if I don't act, then it is useless. Surah Jumu'ah warns us, chapter 62, ayah number 5. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا. The example of those people who have been given the Torah but they do not act on the Torah is like كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ, just like the animals, just like the donkeys. يَحْمِلُوا أَسْفَارًا. The only thing they do is carry books. We may read the Quran. If we don't understand, or if we do understand but don't relate, or if we do relate, do not apply it, is as good as we're animals. Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli says, recall, God is not abusing. When God says you're an animal, if you know the Quran but don't act on it, God is not abusing. God never uses abusive language. God knows the secrets of man. He is stating the reality of man. The truthful nature of a man who knows but does not act on it is a donkey. So he's not abusing, he's stating the fact. So step number one is we need to question. Step number two, we need to read to understand. Step number three is related to our daily lives. Step number four is act. Step number five, then we bring about a change by acting. And this is what the Quran says. The purpose of sending down the Quran is to cause a change in man's life. Alif Lam Ra, Surah Ibrahim, ayah number 1, chapter 14. Alif Lam Ra, Kitabun Anzalnahu Ilayka Litukhrija An-Nasa Min Adh-Dhulumati Ila An-Nur. This is a book we sent down to you so that it may remove you from darkness and send you toward Nur. Bi-Izni Rabbihim Ila Sirat Al-Aziz Al-Hamid. By the will of God. So this is the theoretical background. Let's apply it practically. For example, we read the Surah Yasin often, but look at the way if you read it carefully. Yasin wal Qur'an al Hakim. And this Qur'an is full of wisdom. Question, what is God trying to tell me? Second, I need to understand. What I understand is that this is the Qur'an which is full of wisdom. R, let me relate it to myself. How does it apply to me? Quran full of wisdom. Well, I need to find out, first of all, what is meant by wisdom. Second of all, where in the Quran is the wisdom. And third of all, how do I apply that wisdom? So you need to question yourself as you're reading the Quran. And then the fourth step is apply it. Once you know what that wisdom is, live your life according to that wisdom. Because the opposite of knowing what is wisdom and not living a life according to wisdom is leading a life of foolishness. And finally, N, there'll be a change in the life. Wisdom will enter our lives. وَالْقُرْآنِ الْحَكِيمِ إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Q, what is God trying to tell me? You, I want to understand. He is saying that, O Prophet, you are one of the messengers. R, how do I relate it to myself? Well, if God has sent a messenger, therefore he has a message, and therefore I'm the recipient of the message. Question, what is that message? Question, have I received the message? R, how do I relate it to myself? Do I always recall? Am I living a life of the message or not? And N, what change does it bring into my life? Once I've accepted the message, once I've acted on the message, my life changes. إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Question, what is God telling me? Understanding. He is telling me that the Prophet is on a path which is a straight path. How do I relate it to myself? Am I moving on this path? Because if I am leading any life other than this path, I'm astray. action in my life, in my A's and B's and C's, in my actions and my belief and my character, am I on the straight path or not? I need to find out what are the ABCs of the Prophet's life, apply to myself, and then I get the Noor, my life changes. تنزيل العزيز الرحيم. Question, what is God telling me? Let me understand. He is telling me that this is a revelation, one. It is a revelation from one who is Aziz, two. And it is a revelation from one who is Rahim, three. How do I relate it to myself? If it's a revelation, that means it has come from a higher world down to a lower world. Have I appreciated the higher truths? If it has come from one who is Aziz, do I get the message of Izzah from the Quran? You see, if you read a book by an engineer, you get messages pertaining to engineering. You read a book by a doctor, you get messages pertaining to medicine. You read a book which has been sent down by one who is Aziz, you should get a message of Izzah out of it. It says it has been sent down by one who is Rahim, you should get a message of Rahmah out of it. تنزيل العزيز الرحيم. How do I apply it to myself? Do I discover in the Quran those messages of Izzah and those messages of Rahmah? And once I found out those messages, I need to act upon them. And then the change comes about in my life. لِتُنْذِرَ قَوْمًا. So that you may warn a people. مَا أُنْذِرَ آبَاؤُهُمْ. Whose forefathers were not warned. فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ. Question, what is God telling me? If I try to understand through the translation, he's telling me that the Prophet is a warner, one. He has been sent to a community, two. That community has a past state that they were not sent warners before. And the result of that they are in a state of ghafla. These are the messages I understand. Three, how do I relate it to myself? Do I realize that the Prophet is a warner? Have I received the warning? He has been sent to a community. Am I a member of the community to which the Prophet has been sent? He has been sent to a community whose past had not received prophets. My forefathers may have not been warned, but I have been warned. فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ. I need to understand, am I now in the state of ghafla or am I alert? Am I warned? And step number four, once I know what the warnings are, I need to act on those warnings. And step number five, the change will come in my life. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ أَغْلَالًا. We have kept chains on their necks. فَهِيَ إِلَى الْأَذْقَانِ. And those chains are till their chins. فَهُمْ مُقْمَحُونَ. So now their heads are lifted up. Question, what is God telling me? Well, He's telling me that there are some people on whom God has kept chains. He's telling me that some of those chains are so high that they reach up till the chin. He's telling me that the result of those chains which reach up till the chins are that their heads are lifted up. This is the message that I understand. Three, how do I relate it to myself? I need to ask myself, am I one of those whom God, the loving Creator, the kind Creator, the merciful Creator, who's given everyone freedom, is now punishing some people? He's punishing them by keeping a chain on their necks till their chin, so their heads are uplifted. Am I one of these people? Four, I need to act on this. That means if I know I am moving toward that lifestyle where God is going to begin to punish me by putting chains on my neck. This is a symbolical way, of course, of saying that God is punishing someone, such that that person then becomes slowly blind. If I'm acting out a lifestyle which is leading me toward deserving this punishment, I need to change my lifestyle. And finally, once I change, the Noor will come in my life. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مِن بَيْنِ أَيْدِي وَجَعَلْنَا مِن بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِن خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Question, what is God telling me? Let me try to understand the message. He's telling me God has kept a barrier in front of them, and God has kept a barrier behind them, and God has then covered them from above, so that now, number four, they cannot see. How do I relate these messages to myself? Well, I ask myself, Am I leading a lifestyle whereby God is trying to punish me such that I cannot even see my future? I forget my future. Where am I moving to? Is there a barrier in my life such that it's from behind and therefore I'm forgetting my past, my sinful past? Is there a barrier in my life such that I am being covered from above, I can't even see the signs of God? Is there a punishment in my life such that I cannot see and I'm blind when God shows me His signs? And finally, I need to act. If I realize that I'm being punished, I realize that I'm forgetting my future, I don't even think of the Akhirah. I'm forgetting my past, I don't even consider the sinful past. I behave as if I'm a free person, I have no sins in the past. If I find myself that I'm becoming blind, then I need to act. I need to stop myself from this lifestyle. And finally, إِنَّمَا تُنْذِرُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الذِّكْرَ وَخَشِيَ الرَّحْمَنَ بِالْغَيْبِ فَبَشِّرْهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ. Question, what is God trying to tell me? Answer, I need to understand the messages. God says, O Prophet, you can only warn some people. And those people are, number one, those who fear God. You can only warn some people, and those are those who follow the guidance once they receive it. To such people, O Prophet, give the good message. And what is that good message that you should give them? That they will be forgiven. What else should you tell them? That they will receive a generous reward. 5 messages I learned from this ayah. How do I relate it to myself? Well, I ask myself, am I being warned by the messages of the Prophet? Do I fear God? Am I ready to follow the path when it is shown to me? You see, God has created every human being pure. Purity means the moment he sees the truth, he can understand. The moment he realizes God's majesty, he will be afraid. The moment he sees the truth, he will want to follow. If I am in a state where I remember God but I am not afraid of Him, if I am in a state where I see the right path, I know what is the right ABC, the right action and the right belief and the right character, but I have no desire to follow, it means there is some blindness already settling into me. For such people, those who follow the path and those who are afraid of God, there's a good message. Do I enjoy receiving the good message from God? Because I'm worried. I've realized that I've made a mistake. God is going to punish me. He's the All Majestic One. The good message is, we are promising you that we will forgive you your past sins. Do I experience the joy of the promise of being forgiven my past sins? And finally, do I experience the joy of being promised that there's a reward which is generous? After this promise, am I still attracted to the minor fleeting promises of the pleasures of the world? Let me pause here and let me stop here. I think I've conveyed the theoretical background of how to read the Quran. Question before you start reading, what is God telling me? When you read, try to read to understand. Having understood the messages, relate to ourselves. Having related it to ourselves, apply and act on it. And finally, bring about the nur to change. And I've given a practical example how you could slowly read Surah Yasin. There's no hurry. There is no need to read Surah Yasin, 83 verses in only 10 minutes. That is reading for the sake of thawab. But the thawab of reading the Quran with understanding is tremendous and multiple fold. The Quran was not sent down only for thawab. It was sent down to change a people, to change a community, to change a nation, to change the world. The start has to be made in the month of Ramadan. Let's pray to Allah to give us the nur to be able to change ourselves. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.